Good morning. I would encourage you to open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. For many of us today, like many people around the country and the world, we are still trying to make sense of what happened last Wednesday. I think that was probably one of the most shocking things that has happened in recent memory in history. It was very shameful. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And it was without honor. It's always interesting when things like that occur and we find ourselves in a predicament as to how we should respond to that. I don't mean the events alone, but the moral and spiritual implications of all of that. We are citizens in this country, and we are also citizens of heaven, aren't we? I think the people of Israel found themselves in a difficult predicament as well, being God's people and being occupied by the Roman government. But it went even further when the Apostle Paul and others would preach that the law had been completed and now they were to embrace this gospel and that they were to live their lives in such a way that would reflect the principles and the values of that gospel, even if it went against conventional thinking. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says something that would have been very shocking to some of the Jews. He says, "Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed." And it seems today in our society that carrying out those values and those principles of honor and respect are things that are debatable regarding the circumstances, or regarding what political party you follow, or regarding who you like in office, or whatever it is. And we're not here to debate or talk about the politics of things that are going on, but we find ourselves as Christians in the midst of all of this, again, just like the pandemic, trying to make sense out of how we should respond and how we should think about those things. And it is my hope that as Christians, we would not fail in our endeavor, in our desire to live as God would have us to in this world. How do we acquire genuine honor? Not by doing what we saw last Wednesday. How do we acquire genuine honor and respect? How do we attain that? That's the question. Of course, you know, throughout history, people have always tried to define or decide how that is possible. And there are some, even today, who use means that are certainly not respectful in the eyes of God, whether it's a young person who has grown up in a hard life and who has lost his father or his mother and who lives in the ghettos of society and he is trying to make a name for himself, to have honor, and so he begins to engage in practices and unlawful things that make him not famous but infamous, and thinking he has earned the respect of his peers or those around about him because he has acquired power or wealth, that he will now be respected by society. Of course, the opposite is true. But in order for us to acquire a genuine honor, we must first be honorable people. We must first be people of honor, not people who take it upon themselves to define what honor is by doing things that we like or we feel is necessary, regardless of how God sees it. But we must be honorable people. We must be people of honor. And it seems that in our society today, that many people, even Christians, have forgotten what that means. We don't hear too much talk about honor. The idea of honor, the word honorable itself, has to do with people and actions that are honest, fair, worthy of respect. An honorable person is someone who believes truth and doing what is right. And again, these are things that are debatable today. Well, what is truth? Well, what is right? Well, it depends on how you look at it. And again, these things are not debatable for the Christian. But a Christian not only recognizes those things that are honorable and right, worthy of respect and truthful, but they live their lives trying to attain to those principles. Not because it's necessary for their own advancement or their own agenda, but because they recognize that these are values and principles that reside in the very nature of who God is. And we are called to be like God. Not like the world, but like God. But there are several simple examples that we can remember and that we have seen throughout our lifetime when it comes to being honorable people. In a sports game, when you lose or whether you win, at the end of the game, what happens? Well, usually you go up and you shake hands. We don't do that nowadays. Maybe we do a fist bump or elbow bump, but that's an honorable thing to do. If you're backing out your car and you smash into someone else's car, the honorable thing to do would be to take a card and write down your information and leave it on that person's car. That's the honorable, honest thing to do, right? Telling the truth is honorable. Living a life of godliness is honorable. Moral courage is honorable. Helping those who are needy is honorable. These are things that a lot of people don't value nowadays. It's all about self. It's all about what helps advance my agenda. We are forgetting the important value of living honorable lives. Young people are forgetting the true value and nature of what it means to be honorable. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21 says this: whoever pursues righteousness, key word, pursues. And look at the context in which that word is laid out. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Righteousness, and they will also find honor. Not whoever emulates these things when it's convenient, or not whoever does these things when it fits their mold of life or when it fits or benefits them, but whoever pursues these things, whoever embraces these things, whoever holds fast to these things, whoever functions in life in this way, this person will have righteousness and honor. There is a godly way to acquire honor, and then there is a worldly way. And the worldly way isn't necessarily bad or evil, but oftentimes it is not worthy of the heavenly honor that we all seek, and it's not lasting. Honorable. Think about that. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. Oddly enough, as Solomon is talking about, it is better to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because that is the end of all, and the living will lay it to heart. It is also important that we lay to heart what kind of lives we're leading right now. Are they honorable lives? And we shouldn't determine that by how other people necessarily feel about us alone, but how God views us as well. Right? Is my life an honorable one? Well, by whose standards? Well, by God's. Even to some degree by the world's. In some respects. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. You know, everyone really has two days that in which a person's name is very prominent in life. And of course, that's birth, right? And that's death. Right. And what happens between those 2 days determines whether one's name is going to be a lovely smelling perfume or a stench. And that's really what Solomon is saying here in verse one. But those who die with a good name can no longer do anything to tarnish that name. People may try to say bad things about them, but the way in which they led their life, the example that they left behind, speaks for itself. And a person, of course, who is just born has a life yet to be written. What will that life be? Will it be one of honor, or will it be one of self-seeking? In Proverbs 22 and verse 1, the Bible says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Well, favor usually comes sometimes because one is living an honorable life, right? Not always. But the favor of God is what we all should be pursuing. And so we should pursue a good name, a good reputation. Not one that is built from our own standards, not one that is built by worldly standards alone, but one that seeks to honor God in acquiring honor for oneself. And these are things ultimately that we don't really think about. These aren't guiding principles for us sometimes. Why? Because oftentimes we react emotionally first. And we don't think about how this will affect me or the person next to me or my family or my loved ones or even our Heavenly Father. Do we seek to be people of honor, or do we seek to be people who will become infamous? That's something to think about, isn't it? Some have received honor with little effort. And we can see this throughout history or in different countries or different time periods where somebody was born into a family where they received honor because of the family's name, or perhaps somebody was born into wealth as opposed to poverty in a certain society. And so people would lift up that family or you because you were born, or maybe because you were born a male instead of a female in certain cultures, you receive honor. You know, sometimes it's other things, right? And one can go about their lives accepting that honor and that praise from people who genuinely don't care about you but want something from you. That's not the honor that we should be seeking. But we should be seeking the honor that comes from a life dedicated to following those principles of God's word. And not that we are seeking to elevate ourselves or bring attention to ourselves per se, but ultimately so that people, when they ask us, what has led you to a life of honor? Where did you learn those principles? Why do you value that so much? Why? Because the grace and favor of God is overwhelming for me. And that's more important than anything. I gladly accept his values and his principles in my life, even though they may be shunned or even though they may not be highly esteemed by others in this world. But I align myself with God, and that's where my honor comes from. But discipleship, godliness, living for the Lord is a pathway to acquiring lasting honor. Look at the book of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, the Jews, during Jesus' time, especially the Pharisees, were searching and pursuing empty honor, right? Sound a trumpet before me as I come. I lengthen my tassels, lengthen my garment. I broaden my phylacteries. I love, call me father. Don't call me, so call me father, right? Call me rabbi, right? Let me get that seat over there. You sit over here, right? That's empty honor. That's empty honor, right? And that's what they pursued. And so this challenge of living a life for God and trying to acquire honor his way is something that's certainly not easy, but it's worth it, isn't it? In the book of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Rome, those who were Jews, to understand the great value and favor that could be theirs if they would simply cast off all of these worldly concepts and concepts in Judaism about honor that were flawed, and to embrace this honor that comes from living for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But in Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, Paul says, "But because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." Some live lives that they feel are worthy of honor. They are dishonorable, and they're storing up wrath. Look at verse 6. God, he says, or he says of God, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Are we seeking these things? Are we patient in doing what is good, seeking for the glory and honor that comes from God, which ultimately leads to immortality, eternal life? Verse 8, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. But it can't be my definition of good. It can't be my concept of good. It can't even be the world's concept of good. It must be God's. The Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. But God, Lord, do you realize how famous I was when I lived on the earth? Do you realize how powerful I was? Do you realize, can you imagine Genghis Khan trying to convince God how powerful and how famous he was, right? Or any other person, Alexander the Great, look at what I accomplished. Then you have the person who didn't accomplish much, or maybe he did physically, but he made God his source of honor. And for that, God will honor him. But to have real lasting honor, we must first be people of honor, as we said before at the beginning. This begins with living to honor God in all that I do. That my life is a reflection, or it should be a reflection, of my faith and my desire to honor God and not necessarily myself. I want to share with you an unlikely source of this. Look at the book of Luke chapter 24. It's unlikely in the eyes of many, but I think it really is relevant to what we're talking about. Jesus, of course, is on the cross. He is being taunted by the crowd, even the soldiers, the Jewish teachers, right? You thought that you were an honorable teacher, right? Now you're on the cross. I can't think of anything more dishonorable than that. Little did they know, all of that was in accordance with God's plan. But in Luke 24, notice in about verse 38, and wait a minute, am I on the right? No, that's not right. What did I say, verse 38? No. There's that moment, Kim. Oh, boy. Sorry. Bear with me here. All right. So Luke 23, I apologize, and verse 38. Not Luke 24, but Luke 23. So there was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. You remember why that inscription was put over him, right? Not because they believed he was, but because he said, right, he was. But that's what the Jews were wanting. But Pilate said, hey, what I've written, I've written, right? So they wanted that to be an inscription of dishonor. But it really served the truth, didn't it? But at any rate, verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You know what's interesting about this story is that not just the fact that one criminal rebukes the other while they're dying, but the fact that both of them lived lives that were dishonorable. Right? They did something that was very dishonorable, not just to themselves, but also to the state. And they were being killed because of that. They were being punished because of that. But what's interesting is, even in his final moments, right? Even in his final moments in life, he honors Christ. And he shows that he genuinely is remorseful for what he has done, because he says, we deserve this. And he honors Jesus. And what Jesus is doing on the cross. And what did the Lord do? The Lord honored him. What are we saying? What we're saying is, when we surrender our lives to the Lord will honor us if we're genuine and if we're sincere about it. We can say, well, I lived my life in disrepute and I've done so many bad things, and the Lord can, how can he forgive me? How can he forget? The world's not going to forget. Maybe it won't. But God knows you. And God is willing to forgive you and give you another chance. And you can be honored by God. And that's the greatest honor that all of us should be pursuing. Right? Not jumping on Facebook every day, seeing what people are saying about us. Right? Because that's sometimes how we assess our worth, isn't it? Right? Unfortunately, that's what some people do. I don't have enough likes on this. I better say something else. So people will like me. I'd rather be honored by God than anybody in this life, and that should be our mindset. But again, we must be people of honor who are striving to live to honor God. In Psalm 50, notice what is said here, God speaking about, living a faithful covenant relationship with him. That's how we honor God, by living faithfully to our covenant relationship with him. That's one way. And we see this in regards to the old covenant, right? And look at what God has to say here in Psalm 50, verses 14-23. The Bible says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." But to the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recite my statutes, or take my covenant on your lips?" Again, there are those who do dishonorable things in the name of the Lord. The Lord says, "You have no business taking the covenant on your lips, the promise." Verse 17, "For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulteresses." You want honor from me, but you are not living in such a way that is worthy of honor. You're not an honorable person, right? Verse 19, excuse me, "You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver." Verse 23, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice," not necessarily an animal, but thanksgiving as his sacrifice, "glorifies or honors me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." Right? When you are striving to live faithfully to the covenant, not just the physical actions of the covenant, but you are living and adjusting your life by the very heart and the principles of God's values, God says, "You glorify me, and he will show you the way of salvation." Again, there are those who do honorable things, but they're not honorable people. And they don't stand for God's honor, and that's a shame. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we must remember that our bodies, our physical bodies, are temples for God, right? And Paul tells you the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" That's not just applicable when, you know, we are assembled together. It is applicable, though. As a church, you know, we are the temple of God. As individuals, the same is true. He says, "Whom you have from God, you are not your own." Paul told the church at Rome that whether we live or whether we die to the Lord. We don't live and die to ourselves, right? He says, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify or honor God in your physical body." Yes, there is a sense in which, you know, we can do what we want, but not without consequences, right? And so our lives, our physical bodies that we have, and the grace that God has given to us to live in this life is to be used to honor and glorify him. And again, we must be honorable people to do that. We must speak in an honorable way. We must act in an honorable way. And we must live by his values. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, just to remind these Christians of what is acceptable and not acceptable. Because again, that changes, that varies with the different generations of the world, right? And Colossians chapter 3 in verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Yeah, but everybody to some degree does these things. That's just acceptable. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. You can hear some people, really? Come on, now who doesn't do that every now and then, right? God says these things are not honorable, right? Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, these are not just good rules to follow. God is saying, I want you to be like me. Verse 11, here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. If we want to be honorable people, in God's eyes, we must embrace his principles and values for Christian living. We see that in verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and probably the most difficult of all, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, not duking it out, right? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians today who are living outside of these values, right? Because they've embraced and accepted the ways of the world too much. And they're not living honorable lives, right? God's concept of honor is very simple. Remember in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 where the prophet Eli at Shiloh was living a dishonorable life. He was a prophet. He was the priest of God. And you remember that God sent someone to him to condemn him because he allowed his sons to kick at his sacrifice, to disrespect the responsibility of the priesthood. And Eli, of course, did not restrain them. And you remember the stinging words of God to the prophet in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Listen to these stinging words. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's something to think about, isn't it? Not just my actions among my brethren, right? When I'm with my brethren, but my actions as a citizen of this country, do they bring honor to God? Do they reflect the values of God? Do they honor him? Do they show that what I believe and what I profess are genuine? If so, God will value us. He will honor us. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus says the same thing. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. But again, we see many today claiming to be Christians, claiming to act in the name of the Lord. But they are not bringing honor to themselves or to God. Lord says, if you serve me, my Father will honor you. And finally, God requires sincerity from those who honor him. God desires sincerity from those who honor him. Look at Psalm 91. And as you're turning there, we remember in Mark chapter 7 where the Lord quotes from Isaiah, well did Isaiah prophesy about you people. They draw near to me with their mouth, right? But their hearts are far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. They were not sincere in seeking to honor God. But God requires sincerity from those who honor him. Psalm 91, the lesson will be yours, verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Because he holds fast to me in love. He's talking about those who are devoted to God. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You want to see the salvation of God? You want the grace of God ruling in your heart and your life? Then it's time. It's time to live your life in honor of him. Not by your own standards, not in your own way, but in the way we see set forth and laid out in the scriptures. That would be an amazing testimony, wouldn't it, about your life? He or she honored God. And now we have the hope of being honored for all eternity. There should be no question as to what's honorable and what's dishonorable in our lives. If we give our lives to the Lord and we are guided by his wisdom, I think we'll understand. But the challenge is, will we try to live by it even though the world does not? So if we can help you, why don't you come, Holy Samson?
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way.